Good morning and welcome to Catholic Education Plus on KDK Radio. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Joachim and Ann Parish, which serves the community of Elizabeth, Forward, Glassport, Liberty, Lincoln, and Portview. And our program this morning is a very special one, one that's near and dear to my heart, and it's all about our amazing Catholic schools, but especially the person who's been the heart and the soul behind our schools for all these years. And I'm talking about no other than Michelle Peduto, who has just received the Lifetime Achievement Award from the National Catholic Education Association. And before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to our generous sponsors, Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. So I want to bring in our outgoing Superintendent of Catholic Schools, Michelle Peduto. Michelle, welcome this morning to Catholic Education Plus.
Good morning, Father Tom. It's just a pleasure to be here.
This is bittersweet for me because this is your final show. Today is your final day.
Yes.
You are going to be enjoying a much-needed retirement. So today is your final day as the Superintendent of Catholic Schools. So first of all, I want to say congratulations and thank you for your service for all these years.
Well, thank you very much.
And you know me, we go way back when you were the former principal at St. Agnes in Oakland. I was a young parochial vicar at St. Paul Cathedral down the street. So we go way back many, many years.
We do. We surely do. Many good years.
Yes, definitely. And Michelle, we've been looking forward for this program for many months to honor you for your amazing contributions to our schools and the countless number of educators, administrators, and families whose lives you've greatly enriched and impacted. And so if people have not already heard, the big annual convention was held earlier this year downtown at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center, and you were honored before hundreds of people in attendance. First of all, how was that convention that the Diocese of Pittsburgh actually hosted?
You know, it went very well, and we received nothing but accolades from the folks from the National Catholic Education Association, from people visiting us from out of town. They were so impressed by Pittsburgh, and they, even when we had rain, it was just a deluge of rain at that
time. Yeah.
During that week. But even with that, there were a lot of smiles and people going to visit restaurants and some of the shrines. They went up to see the shrines. They really enjoyed it, and I got nothing but compliments from everyone who attended, including our own.
And that was right after Easter, right?
It was the week after Easter.
So despite the rain, all the puddles to jump through, a lot of foot traffic in downtown Pittsburgh, very economic boost for our region.
Exactly. So it really went as well as it possibly could have gone, really.
The convention was a success then for...
All the teachers in our diocese, our administrators, my staff from the Catholic Schools Office, just did incredible work. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work to have that many people come in and present programming that addresses the needs of people from all different parts of the country. So it was definitely a lot of work, but we had such tremendous support from our bishop from the very beginning. Bishop Zubik was totally behind this and such a key impetus to make this a success.
As I mentioned at the beginning of our show, you are retiring as the superintendent of schools, and also you're going to be spending a lot more time with your family, plus also concentrating on your health. You've been a very, very public about your breast cancer diagnosis, and the time is needed, obviously, now to slow down, take care of yourself, and be with your family. And I know that you made this decision after much reflection and prayer. And it's not an easy one. And your colleagues and your family and your friends have been so supportive. And I'm sure this has been kind of very bittersweet for you. So you want to just reflect on some personal reflections on this?
It is bittersweet because it's not just the end of my superintendency. And I'm going to choke up a little bit. Because it's the end of a 45-year career in education.
Wow.
And all over the country with... students in many states, particularly in the South. So I've really devoted my life to educating children, and gladly so, and rightly so. There's nothing I would have done with my life that I could be prouder of or happier. It's not going to come out right, but happier having done, I guess. It's just been a wonderful career. challenging at every corner, and my family supported me all the way. And, you know, when we talk about a Lifetime Achievement Award, I'm grateful for that. But my Lifetime Achievement Award is really my own kids. That's my Lifetime Achievement Award, are those four children and all the wonderful in-laws I'm getting. And I just, you know, that was the moment, I guess the moment when they presented the award was really just seeing my family.
Yeah,
because that's what it comes down to for each and every one of us, and it's just our families.
What a great.
And then our Catholic school, and all of the people here, of course, become family too, because that's who we are as an organization.
Now, you've been through a lot with, we survived COVID, regionalization, the establishment of our police force. We had Wendell Hisrich on a few weeks ago, the safety and security. A lot has changed over the 5 years of your tenure of superintendent, and you are remarkable. You went through this, and it was a challenge, but you got through it.
You know? We did, but you know, something you need to really, these are things that are all still in progress, right? These are not wrapped up and done and we're all done with them. These are things that are still going on. And that's what's here for all of us. We do our piece and then we pass it on to the next person. Mm-hmm. And then the next person comes in and contributes their gifts and talents in a way that perhaps I could, for sure I couldn't. And they push things along. But these initiatives, I'm very proud of these initiatives. They are things that were really needed. They were part of Bishop Zubik's vision for where he wanted our schools to go, where he wanted our diocese to go. And I'm so proud to have had one piece of that. But the heavy lifting is still ahead, I think. And it requires a lot of listening and understanding on everyone's part as we continue to move forward.
What would you say your favorite part of the job was for as superintendent?
I truly loved working with our principals. Mm. I love working with, I love being in the schools, visiting the schools. I didn't have as much contact with students We had a couple problems with COVID and different things that kind of curtailed the involvement I perhaps would have liked to have had with students. But I enjoyed those moments. I enjoyed those moments of going to school events. Sometimes even dealing with difficult situations with parents, when you're able to find a resolution that's meets everyone's needs, particularly the student, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. There are a lot of heartbreaking moments too, but those are very happy moments for me when we could find a solution to a problem that would benefit a student in our elementary schools, our high schools, our preschools, that would enrich their lives and can make their educational experience one that was always rooted in faith. Those were happy moments for me. People are my happy moments.
You're a people person.
Yeah.
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 One more question before we go to break. Looking over the 21 years of your, as being an educator, any highlights as a teacher, as an administrator before becoming a superintendent?
I think the diversity of my experiences, because I was able to work at St. Agnes, which was an extra mile school. It has since closed, but was an extra mile school, and the challenges that we faced there. And then going to Carlo Campus School, which was an amazing laboratory school, something I'd always dreamed of doing, working in a laboratory school and exploring different types of Catholic education and different methods, to include Montessori, which I believe we have a program coming up on that soon. So I think then working with Extra Mile as a consultant, my career has been so kind of like chip chop ham, you know what?
A little bit of everything.
It's been all over the place. But I've enjoyed every bit of it, and I've learned so much from the people around me and from the people that I've worked with.
Yeah, I like how you had that nice variety working with the Extra Mile School Foundations, children at risk that normally wouldn't have that opportunity of Catholic education, then the wonderful, like you said, the laboratory of Carlo. That's just nice, rich traditions of diversity of
yes.
that. And then to put you in as the superintendent of the diocese, then you throw in COVID and, you know, the regionalizations was going on. It, like a little variety of everything. It was like a buffet line for Michelle Peduto.
It certainly was. It yeah. certainly was. It was.
And you did it good. You did Thank it you. Good. You nice variety of things. And like, over these last several years, Father Tom and Michelle Peduto show, you know, it was all wonderful, wonderful memories with all the wonderful programs. The nice variety, nice history of it. And I remember when we couldn't come into studio and doing the show over Zoom. We had to do that and kind of creative ways of the social distancing and sanitation and all that wonderful things. But we did it. So
those things make you stronger.
A lot of memories, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we have lots more to talk about. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. And welcome back to Catholic Education Plus on KDK Radio. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor of Saints Joachim and Anne Parish. And this morning we are featuring Michelle Peduto, the outgoing superintendent of the Catholic schools for the Diocese of Pittsburgh, and honoring her as she begins her retirement as of the end of today and begins a new chapter of well-rested retirement, but also featuring her on her well-deserved Lifetime Achievement Award. And it's a wonderful special episode of this Catholic Education Plus radio program, and I want to thank our sponsors, Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. And as I mentioned in the first half, Michelle, this definitely is bittersweet because this is our last show, and you've been such a big part of this program over the last several years, especially the 5 years of superintendent. We talked a lot about the hallmark moments of your time and seeing our schools through the COVID regionalization and the establishment of the security police department. Let's now turn a little bit more on the personal side. You're well known for your wisdom, your love for Catholic education, your love of sports. You were at the games and the programs of our school's biggest cheerleader. And more importantly, when a child or a teacher was sick or a tragedy, you gave your presence, your prayers, and the love when needed. And this is a special gift that you've given to all of us. And I'm sure big shoulders were needed for many times. How did you handle that whenever there was like the crises or modes, whether if it was for a student or a teacher or a faculty member?
It's such a challenge to handle those challenges, but I think the first thing you do is fall back on your faith and reflect briefly on that. Much of it is not automatic pilot, I wouldn't say that, but you do go into this mode of knowing what's really important and what you have to deal with. Everything else falls to the side, and if there's we have had too many incidents of children passing away or other parents passing away, teachers, too many of those things. And I think you go into where you're just focused on that particular situation at that time, and everything else takes second priority to that. And you just focus on what those people need. And I think that's what we forget, is that sometimes we approach people with what we think they need, rather than looking at them and looking toward them and saying, what do you need? What can I do? Sometimes it's nothing at all but pray, which is a great deal, which is a very big deal. But it's giving them as much attention and love as you can at that particular moment and focusing all your energies in that direction.
And I'm sure you being in a leadership position, and for me as a pastor, in difficult situations, it's sometimes just by being present.
Exactly.
You don't have to say anything, but you are there.
Presence is everything.
It means a lot, the gift of presence.
Presence means everything, yes.
Now let's turn to some of your favorite moments. Do you have like any top three?
Top three.
Probably have more than that, but...
It's hard to pin them down to specific moments. As I said earlier, I love going to programs, and I love particularly when there's a program involving kindergartners. And I was in Beaver for a Cindy Baldrige was principal there then, and they did this wonderful program where they had all the students set up, and they were doing different performances, right? So watching kindergartners do things, you know, watching their faces and the way they look at their families, and being with the children in the schools are part of my favorite moments for sure, being with the students. And then the moments with staff, I have to say, sometimes you just have things happen that are so incredible. They're so beyond what you could even imagine that you're just caught up in these moments sometimes of just laughter, where there's nothing demeaning about it, there's nothing like that, but you're caught up in some of these situations that we're all laughing, the parents, and we can't believe how this happened. And sometimes you're saying to a parent, and the parent is saying to you, I don't know what my child was thinking. And we're all in agreement on that. And so, situations like that, I think, are very...
It's good and healthy to laugh.
It is good and healthy to laugh. It is.
Instead of being so serious all the time.
Exactly. Exactly. There's enough to be serious about.
Exactly. And then obviously, this in society, the pressures have changed and weighed upon our families, the students, the teachers in recent years. It's been overwhelming. Big focus on mental health, obviously social media, the morality, the moral issues, establishing the safe protocols for our students, big undertakings that are still evolving, and we're just scratching the surface. But your thoughts on all of these things that are going on, it's reality.
Well, there's so much going on, and you can feel overwhelmed. And I know I think many of us do. I think we feel like we're drowning in a sea of problems. But what you have to realize is, with all those problems that I will say the media is so happy to show us any given evening, there's also so many good things that are going on. And we need to look for the good. Yeah. We do need to, of course, always be aware of the situations that sneak up on us, the difficult things, the challenging things to our faith particularly. But we really need to find the good in each other. And to do that, we have to listen to each other. And at my lifetime, we've stopped listening to each other. I remember I had a teacher when I was in middle school who said, are you listening to what I'm saying, or are you thinking about what you're going to say? And the reality is that seems to be what we're doing at this point about all issues. We seem to be thinking about what we're going to say next and not hearing what the person speaking to us is saying. And that requires that the person speaking to us speak in a civil manner too. So this idea of civil discourse, I don't think it's outdated. I hope it's not. Mm-hmm. But the idea of civil discourse is so important. And if we use Christ as our role model, who listened more than that? Of course we listen, and we find the person where they are, and we go there. We don't wait for people to come to us. And I that would be the biggest thing for me, because there's so many issues out there but they all come down to the same thing. Are we really listening to each other, or are we just seeing who's going to win? Who's going to win?
Yeah, a lot of people like to outdo each other, you know, and like you said, sometimes just listen to the person, evaluate it. Don't be like just a knee-jerk reaction of having to, you know, always have that, it's my way or the highway, but just to be open, evaluate, but like you said, important to listen.
Well, and if you don't open a door today listening, maybe it opens a door for a future conversation down the road. But we're very angry right now.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in our world and our society. Well, I have always given you the last word. So this is the last minute of this segment. So you get the last word.
So I would use this last word to thank you, Father Tom, for these years, not just the years here, but beyond that. And I would thank the people that I've worked with in the school's office, in the field, the principals, the regional superintendents. I thank the parents for having faith, in us. It's the biggest act of faith to send your child on a school bus in the morning to go to school. And we take that very seriously. And I know that whatever, I hope that we all continue to pray for our Catholic schools. You know, you're talking about 40,000 people all told. That's a lot of prayers. So pray for our Catholic schools, pray for our teachers, pray for all of us.
We'll pray for you too. Michelle Peduta, the outgoing superintendent, thank you for being with us here this morning.
Thank you.
We'll be back here on KDK Radio. This week in our Plus segment, we are featuring the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. In the Gospel of St. Mark, we hear the healing of Jairus' daughter and a woman with a hemorrhage. And scripture scholars relate this particular writing as a sandwich because there's two things going on that are all packed together. The man with wealth and prominence, the Roman official, comes to Jesus with humility and faith to heal his daughter. And then we hear a woman who suffers from a hemorrhage for the last 12 years. She's persistent, and it's her faith that makes this healing a possibility by reaching out and touching the cloak of Jesus, and then the woman is healed. So this scripture scholars call it a sandwich because of the two miracles going on at the same time in this particular passage. Let's strive to have faith and confidence in the Lord, and all of us to some degree are wounded. All of us are in some ways are trying to reach out and asking for God's healing and compassion and love. And we can carry the invisible wounds of feeling rejected or failure, loneliness, bitterness, grief, but if we have our faith in Christ, He can transform us, to guide us, to give us hope. So any of the struggles, any of the pains, any anxieties that we might be feeling this particular weekend, let's look at this gospel of the healing of Jairus' daughter and the woman with the hemorrhage, to not to have fear, but have faith. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio.